This is Jimmy Leach. With feedback for Mark Tichy. I said that correctly.
You did.
So, your glory, Mark. It was interesting that you just said that that's such a typical Southern story, Tim, because I'd never heard anything like it. Like the whole selling donuts to take money to church.
Oh, man.
Never heard anything like it. So I felt like that's one of the glories of your life is the story that you told last night and all the things that you've done in your life and, you know, where you've come from. And it's, they could make a movie for TV out of it. Because it's such a, not rags to riches story, but, you know, a kid who grew up, I mean, I would never use this language, but you said that y'all were poor white trash. You know, to all the things that you're retired military, retired law enforcement, you know, you're doing this thing with the veterans. That's a life well lived. So that's the first part of your glory. And then, just as I was praying and thinking about it, your love for your wife, your expressed love for your wife, is your glory, as well as the love for your family, your boys, and your love for your country. You're a true defender. How I believe the enemy has come against you was obviously when you were sexually assaulted, and it felt like compounding with that act in and of itself was terrible, but maybe some of the discipline that your folks did in an effort to raise you the best they probably could made you feel less than. Something of note that Tim and I spoke of when you told your story and you were talking about being sexually assaulted, you stuttered. And you don't stutter when you're not talking about that, mm-hmm. which I found that fascinating. That was very fascinating. So what God's up to in your life? And all I could think of was you're doing it. You're living it. Mm-hmm. You're in the middle of it. Nobody has... nobody has addressed the issues that you're addressing. You know, you and these other, I guess, 360 places, but sounds like you very effectively. Because even though I never saw any actual combat, my wife still has to wake me up in the middle of the night because I'm fighting. She gets hit sometimes, and it's not because I'm trying to hit her, obviously. I'm just flailing my arms around because I've got some dream going on that I'm in the middle of something. And it's the way they prepare you for being ready for that. And it's only been recently. I mean, I can tell you, you know, I've been going consistently to the VA for the last 12 years. It was about 20 years I didn't go. But it's been within the last year or maybe two that they wrote PTSD in my medical record. When this is way better now than it was when I first came out. Mm-hmm. So that's just work that just so needs to be done, and people have to, I don't think they need to be, we need to necessarily be treated differently, but people have to understand the condition that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, they want people to come back and assimilate into society, and they don't give them any tools. So anyway, I'm sorry I'm talking so much.
No.
No, I mean, that's what you're doing.
So I just think you're right in the middle of it.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's been enjoyable.
So, Tim McNamara addressing Mark, my friend now. just an honor to meet you and to know you and to hear your story. And just you're the real deal, and that's. You don't run across many people that are real deal. I mean, you told your childhood story like it was. I mean, it's authentic, and like I mentioned it last night. I said, did you notice he stuttered when he was talking about his childhood, and when you were, as you talked about the age that you're at. That's why I even asked you last night. At what point did you not stutter? And then, and you can see it in your story. Once you got past that point, you didn't. But you're a well-learned man. You've gone way beyond a stuttering, barefoot kid in the back of a truck, elbowing his kid going down the road in the back of the pickup in the back of your, what was it, Ford Torino?
Yeah.
and good on you for. Being the protector. I think the enemy tried to attack you young and early, like he does, and tried to take that innocence, the tragedy that is. You're not alone. Men need to hear that story so desperately. Talk about the percentages of people who have been sexually abused. It's just a phenomenon. Dan Allender talks about it. There's 80-90% everybody. And we don't even realize it. We play it off. No, that didn't matter. But it did matter. It stole your innocence. But I really can see all over how God used it. How you took on that mantle of you weren't going to let that happen to anybody else. And now you're living that through everything that you do. And everything that you have done through your life is that I see, to me, a warrior is a special word. The young Michael talks about it and all that, but it's... Yeah, especially a warrior for God. So, when you talked about the Ugandan guy hugging you and tearing up because you were leaving, that was the warrior that he saw you as, you know, protector. As the only other Christian guy he could trust, he could know. That's about honor. And walking in it for real and seeing that in the flesh is something we don't ever get. We don't get a lot of practice of that. Not enough. So, tell your story. Definitely don't feel like you've got to hold back on any of it. Man. Just, you've got all the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm sure you're a great storyteller as it is. I can see.
Yeah.
But I see that as the words that come up. Your glory is you're authentic. You're full of, you know, everything it is to be a great husband. Honor your wife and your family is just unbelievable. You tell the love you're talking about your boys. Everything that you have in that, and you're all. Proud of them, and you've done a great job, and you've done lived an awesome life.
Yeah, I mean, we're truly blessed in that area. Yeah. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I see you as the... You said it yourself. You're protecting the protectors now. Yeah. You're serving those guys. Hmm. Which is awesome. And that's... I can see that. That's so needed. I mean, what did we say? We have 360, but nobody knows that part of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, love to see your book be the impetus behind more attention being drawn to that.
The only thing that's holding me back from publishing it is my mom.
Just don't want to.
I don't want to hurt her.
Tell that story.
I don't want to hurt her. But I've got to be authentic.
Maybe she won't read it.
Oh, she would read it right now. She would. And she keeps asking me.
She sounds like she'd be for real. I mean,
she's always asking when. She was so codependent on my dad.
Yeah.
Whenever my dad passed away suddenly, her whole life changed, and she's got a lot of phobias as a result of my dad dying so quickly. But she did, for the first time in her life, get her driver's license after he died.
Wow. How old was she?
60. Yeah. As long as she's... living, I won't publish the book because it would hurt her. And I already told a couple people, said, "Well, I can't publish it unless she's still living." It is what it is. I mean, because
don't make that agreement. Let God work it out.
Well, you know, ever since I've been here, I've asked that question. Is there a point where I just need to go talk to her? You know.
You'd be surprised. She's a proud person. I'm sure she's proud of you.
She is proud of me, but she will never know anything about my sexual assault, being sexually assaulted. Because that would hurt. That would just destroy her.
Just with 80% of everybody, when men, women, and whatever, don't think for a minute that she hasn't had that in her past.
Yeah, but...
There's stuff that back there that everybody has to do. My mother-in-law has a horrible story. Mm-hmm. Electroshock from the results of being sexually assaulted as a young girl. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I know.
And it needs to be told.
Well...
Unfortunate, I know what you're saying, but...
Not Mark, though. Not Mark. Yeah, Mark, no. Nothing happened to Mark. Boy, I was
good. God used to forgive me.
I know. I was good at covering it.
God used to forgive, though.
Yeah. I'm blessed. So. I didn't mean to talk.
No, but you're right. Pray about that.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, God might lay it on my heart to tell her some of it. We'll see.
Good advice, too. I'm John, and this is Mark Tichy. I'm the last of the three of us to give him feedback on his story. So, it is really an uplifting message to hear someone talk about how, as a young person, they recognized that there are people out there that couldn't defend themselves and who studied martial arts and then used the confidence they had developed from that skill to start protecting the kids that were being picked on in high school. I've never heard a story like that. Have y'all? Isn't that a cool story?
So what story you want to hear.
What glory you had at such an early point in your life. Mm-hmm. And then you started to protect people for the rest of your career from there. Moving up from emergency medical services to law enforcement, to the service, and still doing it today. And that was in spite of going through a huge emotional scar from the physical assault you suffered as a young boy by a teenager that affected your whole state of mind, level of confidence, and caused you to lose innocence. As a young boy, you instantly became, and you went from being a boy, you completely skipped the Adventure Ranger and became a warrior in a short period of time, about 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And that got you into stuttering whenever you thought about that assault. You found no spiritual, emotional support at home, which is something that you overcame. You just, after a unjust beating that you had, you made the decision you weren't going to let it affect you anymore. You decided you were going to rise above it. Good for you. What a huge testimony. Mm. I imagine somewhere in there was your faith. As you've been raised in the church, you had heard of Jesus, and I think he gave you that strength. Mm. And so you found your calling, which was the ability to stay calm when everybody else was in a panic. And you actually turned that into a successful career, going from EMS to law enforcement to getting in the military, eventually getting into OCS, mm-hmm. becoming an officer, rising to the rank of colonel, right? Mm-hmm. And you were commander of an institution. You became a military contractor, and you retired, and then you went back into law enforcement and got involved in the Veterans Treatment Court, all from that very beginning of that high school boy wanting to be a protector of your fellow man. How valiant. Never heard a better story. You should be writing a book. Because you have realized the desires of your heart like no one I've ever met. And you're continuing to use your organizational skills and that desire of your heart to protect people by creating a rescue plan for veterans who need a rescue, who fought for our freedom, and now we need to keep them free. Mm. What a wonderful mission. Yeah. So it's my observation that you are enjoying a little bit of heaven on earth with the lives that you touch and the faith that you have and the relationship with Christ that you're pursuing and growing and realizing. I mean, how many of us have that opportunity? We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. If we have enough of the Holy Spirit within our heart to decide that we're not going to let this situation where we have to deal with the Prince of Darkness, who's the Prince of the Earth, and wants to put us through as much pain and suffering as he can, keep us from having any relationship with God and his Son and the Spirit of his Son. I just have to say kudos for overcoming and for making your life such an example of what Christ modeled for us.
Hey. Y'all continue to pray for me with my Kylie. Pornography is so invasive. I mean, I have to be so deliberate, and I know that, and that was first tapped in when I was 7, 8 years old. And so I have to be deliberate in my approach and put on that full armor of God every day just to get
it's a little bit frustrating that God made us so visually stimulated. That's a mystery that I don't understand.
And it's touching everybody.
It does. Every one of them.
There's nobody that can afford it now.
Anybody that has any sexual desire for the other sex. So we're all in it together.
We're bombarded by the images.
Man, it's just unrelenting.
Yeah.
But you're in the battle. You're in the awareness. You're in the fight. You know the damage it can cause. I've seen guys. I saw a man in his 70s recently that died strangling himself. And died with a computer in his lap and his pants down.
That's his heart.
72 years old. And his wife still doesn't know what. She doesn't understand what happened. And the family hasn't really told. And they say that's it's a horrible secret that the law enforcement comes across occasionally, that they don't want to be the ones to tell the family that's what happened. They just say suicide. And you look at this guy's life and you think, no way. Yeah. And that was the end result of what it can turn into.
Mm-hmm.
The destruction that it causes can be fatal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as well as just the horrible destruction it causes in your family and your relationships.
Absolutely, yeah.
If we as people walking in the faith have such a hard time with it, how does anybody else that is
pastors. Not? 80% of pastors struggle with
it. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. That's probably accurate for teenagers on that. Yeah.
And we all, I can remember my first exposure, and the shock that you described in your story, the jolt that is to you physically and everything, is just changes your life. It sends you on a pursuit of something.
It's the devil's work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like your record just got jumped, skipped, and it's gone to a different RPM, and
The best time that I do and able to find the most victory is when I'm staying plugged into what God has me to do. So if I'm doing this, and not just doing just to be busy doing something else,
but being deliberate.
But when I'm walking in that and what it is that God has me to do, that's when I find them. I look back and think, oh, well, that's not affecting me for this period.
I'll realize after a couple weeks, every now and then, wow, I forgot all about porn. And I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Too busy, too tired, too whatever. But it doesn't go away. That's the thing. I've heard testimonies of guys in their 80s. And I remember asking the guy, when do you stop looking? He's, you don't stop. So that's going to always be there, the battle.
Yeah. And Satan's got, that's a...
Lust is a powerful force.
You're not alone in that battle. Other guys need to hear that story too. To know they're not alone in it.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's
you don't have to have all the answers for it.
There's no discussion of it.
When there's did you watch the video live feed they did on Facebook, Michael did a couple weeks ago? And they got into it a little bit.
No, but I guess that's what's wrong with men.
Well, that was one of the things they got into was pornography, talking about what's wrong with men, and as soon as they discussed it, like, a bunch of people went, thank you for talking about this, thank you for talking about
yeah.
this. They were following on a lot of people, and they're like, because
yeah, it's just
nobody's talking about it.
And it's
church, you can't
bring it to church. It's destroying the family unit, you know.
Yeah, women don't understand. Because they don't have the same needs and desires.
Mm. They say a lot of women are starting to become susceptible to because of the imagery and everything. So it's so prevalent.
Mm.
The way we're geared now. Everybody's got like that picture. Take a picture of the reality. And you got reality all around you. And we're so wrapped up in this
yeah.
technological.